God's word for our consideration this morning. God's word to feed us. God's word to nourish us. God's word to strengthen us. Comes from the Old Testament lesson from the prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah writes these words, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I have made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah." So far, God's word for our consideration this morning, to feed us, to nourish us, to strengthen us in our walk of life as God's servants in the world. I want you to think back. I want you to think back in your life. I want you to think back about the baptismal font being in the front. And I want you to think about bringing your child to the baptismal font. I want you to think about promises. Promises, promises, promises. Promises that are important. Promises that lift us up. Promises that make us feel guilty at times. But thinking about that child at the baptismal font, as the water is splashed over that child in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, you and the godparents / sponsors made promises. Promises that you were going to look after your child. Promises that you were going to build your child up in the faith and watch over him spiritually. Promises that are hard to keep. I remember our son Paul being baptized, and Tim and Melissa are his godparents. They're still alive. Tim was a classmate of mine at the seminary, and he and his wife made a promise to put Paul in their prayers. So on their dresser, they had one of those pictorial, those things that clasped together. On one side was the promise of the baptism, and the other side was Paul's picture. They remembered their promise to remember him and his baptism. But think of your child after baptism, and a few years later, promises, promises, promises. That child stands before the altar of God and makes the promise that he or she would be faithful even unto death. Many promises that we fail on, and many promises we put in the back of our minds and it'll never happen. But yesterday, I was a part of a funeral at St. Peter's Lutheran Church of Belvedere, where the man who had died in the Lord and had fulfilled the promise that he made before God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, that child is before the altar with his or her spouse and makes promises, promises. Promises, promises to be faithful, promises to honor, promises to lift up, promises to encourage, and promises that get squelched because of sin. Promises that only God can make and fulfill. We make the promises, but we fall. We falter and we fail because there's sin. Paul wrote, "All have fallen short of the glory of God." We have all fallen short of that glory and that promise that we have made in the presence of God. The people of Israel, remember how they made the promise to follow God out into the desert. And as Moses climbed up the mount and received the commandments of the Lord on the two tablets, he walked down, and there they were worshiping the golden calf. Promises that failed. Promises that faltered. Only God can keep the promise. Promises of forgiveness. Promises of strength. promises that he makes to be our Savior. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. He makes that promise in the 46th Psalm, verse 1. And Jesus says, where two or three are gathered, I will be in the midst of them. Promise that Jesus makes and keeps. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. As Jesus makes that promise in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Promise that only Jesus lives up. We don't lift up to those. We don't live up to those promises that we have made. Do you remember your child in baptism? Do you remember that you were to spiritually lift up your child in baptism? Do the godparents and sponsors remember your child in their baptism? I'm thinking probably not. I don't know. You know, there's so many promises in that baptismal service. The baptismal service has changed over the years in our hymnal and agenda that we use. But I like the Lutheran worship agenda, the blue hymnal that we had from 1982 to 2008. In that baptismal service, it focuses on the sponsors, godparents, and it says, Will you put in mind this child after his or her baptism? Will he be in your prayers? Will you lift him up? Will you encourage him? And if he or she shall lose his parents, will you bring him or her to God's house to receive the sacrament of Christ's body and blood given and shed? Do you promise to do this? And of course, everyone says, yes, I do promise. I haven't had anybody say, no, I don't promise that. But that's the promises we make in Holy Baptism. When we are confirmed before the altar of God. You remember confirmation? Do you remember that time when you stood before the Lord and promised that you would follow, and promised that you would encourage, and promised that you would remain faithful even unto death? I didn't have to stand before the congregation and make that pledge. But growing up in the Episcopal Church, we had one weekend, one Saturday, that we all met together, and individually we met with the minister. In the Episcopal Church, they don't call them pastors, they call them priests or ministers. And I remember that day, I was fearful. I was trembling with fear. What if I don't answer the correct question rightly? What happens if I forget anything that he wants to ask me? I really don't remember any of those questions. Because if I'm right and true, I was confirmed at age 14. I am now 73. That was quite a few years ago. But I do remember the vows that I had to make when I got married 51 plus years ago. And some of those vows, some of those promises I have broken because I'm sinful. Because sin has grabbed hold of me and have torn me apart. Think about Adam and Eve. Think about it in the garden. And God created Adam and Eve. And God tells Adam and Eve, do not eat the fruit of the tree of life in the garden. You can have any other tree, but don't eat that fruit. And Satan comes up and uses Eve's words, the serpent beguiled me, you know, tempted me, and I fell. I took a bite and I gave it to my husband, and he ate. And you see, God asked Adam why he sinned. And Adam's response was, it wasn't me. It was the woman you gave me. You know, we've been passing that down, but the essence of that sin, it grabs us and holds us. Holds us to a terrifying position. Satan knows how to tempt us. Satan knows what we like. Satan knows how to cause us to fail. And then, you know what Satan does? Not only does he tempt us to fail and we fall, he says, see, you couldn't even believe in God. You couldn't follow God. You're a miserable person. You deserve to die. That's Satan. God, on the other hand, says, rise up, child of God. Because of Jesus, I forgive you your sins. As far as the east is from the west, I have removed your sins from me. Through the prophet Jeremiah, he says, I will remember your sins no more. And in Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, he says, in the 11th verse, he says, I have plans for you. Plans to prosper you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. If he remembered our sins and he punished us for those sins, do you think he's going to tell us that? He wants us to be repentant, to come before him and confess those sins. And we do. We do in our confession at the beginning of the service. We do as we come up to the altar rail and are fed and nourished by this Jesus who says, take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood. He lifts us up, he encourages us. He assures us out of his love. And then what he does, he gives us the power of the Holy Spirit, not just to live within us and cause us to confess Jesus as Lord, but he gives us that power to be witnesses, to be disciples, to be those people of God that share Jesus. During the funeral yesterday that I co-officiated with a friend of mine, Dale, Dale brought together Dwayne's occupation, which was a farmer. And he weaved in his fights. He used 1 Timothy 6, fight the good fight of faith. And Dale said, you know, this farmer fought the prices, fought the crops, fought the everything that a farmer fights. He says, but you know, that's not why we're here. Because he fought the good fight of faith. He believed in Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He knows, he knew that he will be with Jesus when he dies. And you see, God gives us that power. God gives us that power to believe. God gives us that power and strength to share with one another, to share the grace, the mercy, the peace. Because God says, promises, 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 promises that I have kept for you. Promises that tell us the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Promises that as we walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil because your rod and staff are with me. Jesus is with us as he lifts us up. Those promises those promises are fulfilled. As we look into the empty tomb, those promises are fulfilled. That we know that when we die, because we know we're going to die, we know when we die, the promise of God in the resurrection has been given, and we believe that we will see our loved ones again, and we will see Jesus face to face because of the promise that he made for us, the promise that he kept. In Jesus Christ's holy and gracious name, amen.